What's up, Breakthrough Success listeners? Mark Ghiberti, founder of the 5-Day Podcast Launch Mini Course here. And knowledge is very important. You've heard a lot of people say self-development, self-help, all these different things. But how do we actually master the skill of acquiring knowledge quickly through fast reading and actually remembering what we learn? That's what we're going to talk about in this episode with our guest today, who is a serial entrepreneur, best-selling author, and keynote speaker. He started at the age of 16 in an e-commerce company. It would go on to become one of Inc.'s 5,000 fastest-growing companies in America before he sold it in 2011. Our guest has also been one of the top-performing instructors on online learning platform Udemy and has snowballed the success into the launch of his rapidly-growing information products company, Superhuman Enterprises. Our guest who joins us is none other than Jonathan Levy. Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Mark. I'm really happy to be here.
Jonathan, I'm so happy to have you on Breakthrough Success, and I feel like we all understand how important it is for us to acquire information to learn, but we all have a limited amount of time, and then there comes the we have to retain the information. So I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about fast reading first and just some ways we get better at that, and then we'll talk about retaining.
Yeah, all right. I'll break my rule, which is I always tell people you got to improve your memory before you improve your reading speed. But we can talk about speed reading, and as long as you promise me, Mark, we're going to talk about memory.
Definitely.
So there's a couple of things wrong with the way most people read. And first off, I want to preface this by saying I am not selling the type of snake oil speed reading that has gotten people fined by the Federal Trade Commission. I'm not selling the 5,000 word per minute. The science doesn't support any of that. In fact, there's a lot of research disproving speed reading. And what those studies found is that comprehension significantly declines at around 600 words per minute and starts to really drop off at 750 words per minute. Now, interestingly enough, our method is we market it and teach it that we can get you up to 600 to 800 words per minute. So we're operating in that span. And what the research finds about the world's fastest readers is that they do a couple different things differently. One, they take in larger groups of words. Now, you can never change the way your eyes perceive visuals, right? You're always going to have the same fovea, which is kind of think of it as like the focal point of your eye. You're never going to be able to change it. But what you can do, and in fact, many military programs and the Navy trains you to pay attention to the stuff in the paraphovea. Teach your brain that although it's a little bit blurry, you want to pay attention to it. So that's fundamental number one. Fundamental number two, many people don't realize that while your eyes are in motion, they're not actually taking in new information. Your brain does this thing called saccadic masking, often referred to as saccadic blindness. So when you're moving your eyes, the optic nerve actually shuts off. Now, most people move their eyes for every single word, right? By the way, cannot make smooth movements of your eyes unless you're tracking a moving object. So we jump from word to word, right? The problem is when you're doing that, you're spending a lot of time with your optic nerves shut off. So we train people to move their eyes 2 to 3 times per line and take in larger groups of words. From there, once you do that, you'll be able to reduce but not eliminate the voice in your head that reads the words to you, and you'll start to see words as visual symbols, which is a lot faster. Visual processing is a lot faster than auditory processing. And from there, it's about optimization, right? Moving your eyes in the right positions on the page so you're not spending a lot of time reading in the margins. Does that make sense? That's the really high level version of speed reading.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, I've done a little dabbling in this, like no product of mine or freebie or anything like that, but I've just like understand, like, you know, you read multiple words per line. I know that there's a point where your eye goes to the next line a little earlier than what most people do, where they get to that margin point where it's just blank white space. I mean, that's definitely like a lot of the stuff Jonathan is saying is spot on. But one of the things that, you know, we do definitely want to cover, which we're going to get into right now, is that memory part. Because you could say, look at me, I read Mark's book in 10 minutes, but what did you get from it? So how do we truly retain the information that we get from these books rather than just show off that we could read quickly?
Yeah, that's the operative question, right? And I found, Mark, so I struggled a lot with learning. I could show you report card after report card of me just failing as a student. And I didn't just struggle with academic learning. I struggled with social learning and athletic learning. And I was just the slow kid. And so I thought about this long and hard. And fortunately, I met some mentors who completely redefined for me what learning was and redefined for me what the limits were or weren't on learning. And the biggest thing that I see, and it kind of blows my mind, like I've been talking about this for 7 years now, it still blows my mind. Most people don't know how to use their brain, period. Like you have 15 years of physical education classes where they teach you how to stretch your hamstrings and they teach you how to throw a ball and whatever, right? And you have some very awkward, maybe 6 months of sex education classes where they teach you how to use different parts of your body. But no one ever teaches you how to use your brain, and your brain is the most complex object in the known universe. So no one ever sits you down and says, hey, this is how your memory works. And this is the formula that your brain looks at to determine if information is worth remembering. And by the way, you can trick it. You can make information more interesting and more memorable by doing this, 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 and this. And we can go deeper into what that means. So that's the one thing, which is most people walk around believing they have a lousy memory. It's kind of like, you know, everyone you talk to, you ever notice how when you drive, like everyone else is either too slow or too fast? It's the same, like we all have this shared hallucination. Well, it's the same thing with memory. We all think we have a lousy memory, but the fact is you don't. You just don't know how to use your memory. It's like saying I'm a lousy athlete, but you've never actually tried to learn any sport. And so that's the first thing, is learning how to use your memory. And the second thing is we live under this misconception that learning is a one-time event. And I don't just mean that in terms of, you know, you go to school, you learn what you need, and then you practice. That also is a problem. But when I say learning is a one-time event, our school system and our society and everything around us teaches us like, well, you read the book and now you must know everything in the book. That's not true. In order to learn effectively, we need to maintain our memories. And it really is true. If you don't use it, you lose it. And so the world's most effective learners either use their information periodically, or they make scheduled, systematic review a part of their learning process. And that's a game changer, because we all know the feeling. I mean, how much do you remember from 10 years ago in school? I have 2 degrees. One of them, I use the techniques that I teach in my book and my courses, so I remember a lot. But I have an entire 4-year degree that I remember almost nothing of. Mm. And what a shame, right? Because not only was it a huge investment of time, it was also a pretty significant investment of money. So those are the two kind of key things that I would say are crucial for anyone who wants to learn. And by the way, everyone out there should want to learn, because 47% of jobs will be gone in the next 10 years. And 54%, according to the World Economic Forum, 54% of employees will need significant reskilling by 2022. That's right around the corner.
Yeah, I mean, Jonathan brings up a really great point, use it or lose it. I feel like that is a simplistic way to do it. Jonathan knows some of the more advanced stuff. We'll get into that. But I mean, I just finished college and I'm a finance major. I'm holding on to that information because I do a lot of dividend investing stuff on my YouTube channel. By the way, YouTube will be in the link in the description for anyone who actually wants to check that channel out. But it is this idea of use it or lose it with your knowledge. Like, it's one of the reasons I do this podcast. I'm continuing to, like, when I say different things, it's like a reminder of, oh, this is important. And then hearing it from a guest, it's like, oh, this is a great insight. So you definitely want to keep on learning and apply what you learn. That's a really big point. And another big thing Jonathan mentioned is that brain, and every analogy you could really think of, really just like put athletics on it, because everyone gets athletics. But I mean, can you share with us more about like how the brain works? Because I can't really think of a time where you ever really go deep into how the brain works and a lot of education. So
I love that you asked. This is my favorite question, Mark. The brain is a really, really complicated organ. Again, I want people to leave this podcast just realizing that, like, you are a miracle. Like, your brain is the most complex object in the known universe. Let that sink in for a moment. It's so phenomenally powerful that you have 100 billion neurons. That's more than there are stars in the observable night sky. And we know just a fraction of how the brain actually works, but we know enough about how memory works. And that's because memory was one of the first components of the brain to be treated as a legitimate science dating back to the 1850s. So there's a lot of great research continuing to this day. I keep up with the latest research on the brain, and every day there are incredible new studies coming out. So everything that I'm going to share with you is completely backed in the science. And if anyone wants to check it out, you can actually visit superhumanacademy.com/science. We hired a independent neuroscientist from Oxford to audit everything that I'm about to say and everything that we teach in our methods to make sure that we are up with the latest scientific research. In any case, so there's a couple things that your brain does when it needs to remember something. You see, because your brain is so incredibly powerful, one of the ways it does that is by being efficient and trimming the fat. For example, your brain operates on about 20 watts of power. That's as much as two of those low power CFL energy efficient light bulbs. But if you were to create a computer that had the computing power of your brain, it would actually take as much as a small nuclear power plant to power that computer. So it's wildly efficient. And one of the ways it does that is by forgetting things that are unnecessary. And so your brain has a very specific set of criteria that it looks for to determine if a piece of information is worth remembering. Now, I'm going to rattle these off really quickly, and then we can go real deep into them if you want. So first is, we remember visual information better than any other kind of information, except for smell or taste. And that's because of the priority with which those pieces of information give us survival advantage. Smell or taste, you better know how to smell or taste if something is rancid or poisonous or whatever. But then after that, vision gives you this huge survival advantage, right? And so visual information is much, much more memorable. And at the highest levels of world record holders, memory champions, they're all converting every piece of information, whether that's names, numbers, Bible verses, anything, converting that into visual information in the form of random bizarre pictures. Now, on the note of bizarre, another thing is we go for novel, strange information. The more bizarre you can make the information seem, the more you are going to remember it. And then the third thing is going to be connections. Okay, your brain has a ton of information and a ton of knowledge, and it kind of actually works just like Google. Right? The way that it determines if something is important is it goes, how many connections are there to other stuff that I know? And how important is that stuff? Because that's a way to get a proxy measurement on how worthwhile this information is. Now, whenever we learn something new, the first thing we do is go, you know, we meet someone from Norway and say, hey, how do you say nice to meet you in Norwegian? They tell us and we go, oh, that's the only word I ever know in Norwegian. I know, you know, it's not connected to anything I've ever learned. And what you're doing is you're immediately telling your brain, this is useless information that I will never use. Please forget it at the first possible opportunity. So that's the first three. And the fourth one, which is kind of like the super skill that ties it all together, is location. Our brains are insanely good at remembering locations and layouts of locations because it gives us survival advantage. So again, at the highest levels, people are taking all of those three fundamentals and they're tying them in with location-based mnemonics. I'm talking, of course, about the memory palace. And with this, Mark, I can teach you, and I have taught people in 30 minutes, I can teach you how to memorize 50 digits backwards and forwards, and not just one time. I can show you the method, and you will be able to now memorize 50 digits backwards and forwards. It's insane how powerful these techniques are.
And I am interested in exploring that more because, you know, again, like some of this stuff could sound like I feel like memorizing the 50 digits forwards and backwards is like, you know, like impressing your friends at some kind of event or whatever, but you can use that to learn a new language, learn skills quickly. So
yes.
I am wondering, what is that process for memorizing those digits within 30 minutes?
Yeah, really cool. Well, so actually memorizing the digits itself, I could teach it to you in 30 minutes. I can do it in under 2 minutes. And I'm not even, I'm nowhere on the scale of memory champions. I mean, I'm really, really good at teaching this and getting people good results. I don't compete. But the world record right now for memorizing a deck of cards is 12.96 seconds. Use some perspective. People can memorize 14,000 digits in an hour. So pretty incredible, incredible feats. The process is really simple. You create a memory palace. You trace out a path in that memory palace and all the places you're going to store the little symbols. You convert every two-digit number gets converted into a number. or into a symbol. I'm sorry. There is a system out there called the major method that you can use to do this. So for example, 99 for me is Bob from Bob's Burgers. 22 is none, the none from Mrs. Doubtfire. And you create all these symbols. You learn a new language effectively. It takes you 10 minutes to learn. But you have this new language where I know now that 22 is none and 99 is Bob and on and on and on. And then you just go on the journey and you place these little symbols in all different kinds of anchor places throughout your memory palace. This sounds really, really confusing for those of you in the audience. You're like, what the heck is he talking about? It doesn't take long at all to learn. And once you learn it, it's like a super skill. Again, I've used this to memorize crazy stuff. In fact, I have not yet found something that I can't memorize with this.
And can you just give us a quick breakdown of how to do this beyond digits? Because I know you are able to do it, but I've heard Memory Palace probably only like once or twice in my lifetime. And like I've gone into a lot of books too. So I'm wondering if you could share with us how we, you know, like languages or just like tips from a book.
Yeah. So everything you ever want to remember, you want to convert into a visual mnemonic. Now, if you just do that, right? If you just convert everything you want to remember into a picture, you will do better than 99% of people out there. In fact, I interviewed Harry Lorraine, who's like the godfather of modern mnemonic training. He started writing books about this in 1955. And he only used that, and he used to go on Johnny Carson, and he would memorize 1,500 audience members' names before the show and recite them on air. So if you only do that, right? So I need to remember Mark's name. I would visualize, for example, Mark has, you know, a mark on his forehead. Now, in order to make that stand out, maybe I'll give you, you know, a similar mark to, I don't know, Manson, right? Charles Manson. I would put that mark on your forehead. Or I would give you some kind of outrageous, outlandish mark on you. And I would then also potentially connect you to other marks that I know, visualizing you with them. If I just do that, I've created now two connections. I've created two visualizations. I have 100 times more chance of remembering you. If I want to take that to the next level and I want to memorize information in order or with perfect recall, for example, I want to memorize a poem. I want to memorize my lines. I want to memorize a speech. Order of the US presidents for some strange reason, or just information that needs to be in order. Like I want to memorize all my credit card numbers. I want to memorize my wife's social security number, all my kids' social security numbers. I want to put them all in one place. That's when you would use something like the memory palace. I call it in my book, The Only Skill That Matters, I call it the mnemonic nuclear option, because for most things, it's kind of like showing up to a water gun fight with a thermoballistic missile. But it'll get the job done, but it's overkill for a lot of things.
Yeah, and I mean, again, like I feel like you could apply this in so many different areas, which I know we've talked about digits. I know we've talked about remembering faces, but you can apply this to books also where chime in on this or correct me. I just want to make sure we get this point down. But like if the tip is like I have a book called Podcast Domination. One of the things in there is like start multiple podcasts. And I mean, you could just create like an image of your head of like two microphones, like connected together or something like that, just to make you remember that tip. And is that the type of approach you would take for a book?
Absolutely. Yeah. With books, I do it less. I usually don't memorize the topics of books because I do like to go back through books. And I recommend that people go back through books. I'm actually, with all the memory techniques and everything in the world, I do recommend people highlight. I like to recommend that people read on a Kindle, believe it or not, because you can export your highlights and then you can pump them into a system that will remind you periodically. So I use an app, and I recommend an app called Readwise.io, which will send you a daily or weekly summary of all your highlights. So you're always reviewing the stuff that you learn, because it's just not enough to learn it once. With that said, if I did want to memorize something from your book, or say, you know, I wanted to give a presentation on your book, that's exactly how I would do it.
Wow, I'm definitely going to do that because I highlight in my books, I underline stuff, but you have to go through each paperback to get the underlined stuff. But Readwise.io, we'll definitely include that in the show notes. I've never heard of that resource before, but I do feel like it could help a lot of people, especially people who are on Kindle Unlimited or people who, you know, just have a lot of Kindle books. So we'll definitely have that in the show notes. In addition to that, like what are some of the things you're working on that you would want me to include in the show notes as well?
Well, I have a lot of pots in the fire right now. I recently trained about a dozen certified coaches who are helping people implement the super learner methodology all over the world. I did recently launch a book. It's been on the bestseller lists. It's called The Only Skill That Matters. I have a podcast, Superhuman Academy. That's at superhumanacademy.com. And then we have a ton of different courses. We have courses on everything from how to build your business, build online courses if you want to be in the content space, how to connect your podcast to the online courses, to the blog, to the everything, and courses on productivity, learning, speed reading. I'm all about the human optimization. So we have tons of courses with tons of really, really great thought leaders that we've partnered with.
That's definitely a lot of great resources, which will all be in the show notes. I definitely recommend you guys check that out because Jonathan has been really spot on with a lot of great insights throughout this episode. And I do want to thank you for taking the time to come on Breakthrough Success and share all of your great stuff with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Mark.